Welcome to Aspects of Faith, where we discuss theology for the everyday person and answer some of your theological questions. I'm your host, Chris. Hello, welcome to Aspects of Faith, and I'm your host, Chris. On the last episode, we discussed what it means for God to be self-sufficient. We discussed that God is independent of every other being, and show that God exists perfectly when the physical universe did not exist. On this week's episode, we'll be discussing the topic of the immutability of God. So what does it mean for God to be immutable? It means that God does not and cannot change. All of his ways are fixed. What God declares to be good will always remain good. And what God declares about what is evil or sinful will always remain evil and sinful. Thomas Watson defines this beautifully when he says, "In God there is nothing to which he can change for better or for worse. He cannot change for the better because then he would not be perfect. And he cannot change for the worse for then he will cease to be perfect." So what does the scripture tell us about the immutability of God? Psalm 102, 25-27 says, "Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. They will all wear out like a garment. You change them like a remnant, and they pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end." Malachi 3:16, "For I am the Lord, do not change." Psalm 103:17, "But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him." James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." As I have touched on the first episode, God's character or his attributes are unchanging. The God that is presented in the Old Testament is the same God that is presented in the New Testament. God does not have his good days and his bad days. God is always the same. God will never be less truthful or merciful or loving or just. The God today is the exact same God we read in both Old and New Testament. God is infinite in essence, infinitely good, wise, holy, and so forth. God has attributes that are different, but his immutability is at the center where they all unite. What God is, he is eternally and unchanging. A.W. Pink sums us up when he says, "The attributes of God can no more change than a deity can cease to be." In other words, God's attributes cannot change any more than God cannot cease to be divine. God is immutable in his counsel, that is, his will and purposes will never change. What God has done in the past and will do in the future, he planned from eternity past. And all that he had planned from eternity past, he will carry out throughout human history. An example of this is God's plan of salvation. God is not going to, at a later point, change the conditions on how we're going to be saved. It will always remain the same. If God changed his will or purpose, it would have to be due to some lack of foresight on God's part. But God, who is all-knowing and whose knowledge is perfect, sees all things at all times. Nothing can take God by surprise, and thus nothing can cause him to change his mind and his purposes. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has God said, and will not do it? Or has he spoken, and will not fulfill it?" But some might ask, doesn't scripture show that God changes his mind and regretted certain actions on numerous occasions? Does that not imply that God changes his purposes? One thing we need to keep in mind is that these scriptures express God's present attitude or intention with respect to the situation that existed at that particular moment in history. Let's use Jonah for example. God sent Jonah to Nineveh to warn them, saying that unless they repent of their sins, then God was going to judge the nation. Since Nineveh repented of their sins, God did not judge the nation. Did this event change God's purpose? No, it did not, because God had already purposed that the city of Nineveh would be spared. But if God purposed Nineveh to be spared and knew that they would repent, why did God bother to send Jonah to Nineveh? Because God used his warning of judgment as a means to bring about his purpose. Another example of this is Genesis 6:6, where it says, "God was sorry that he created mankind on the earth." This does not mean that God felt like he made a mistake, but as I mentioned before, it shows his current displeasure at the sinfulness of man. God expressing this did not change his long-term purpose, for God already knew that man would act in this way. If God was sorry in the way that we assume, not only would God cease to be God, but none of us would be here because God would have wiped out all of humanity. Finally, God is immutable in his word. Everything we read in the Bible is an expression of the mind and thoughts of God. There is nothing that can prompt God to ever revise the things he has laid out for us in his word, and there is no circumstance that will cause God to take back or change anything he has set up for us in scripture. Once God has declared something, and once God has promised something in his word, that is set in stone. Nothing can change it. Not time or culture. His truth will remain forever. Isaiah 40:6-8 says, All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. The people are indeed grass. The grass withers, and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. What Isaiah is saying here is that we will perish. The grass and the flowers will perish, but God's word will stand forever. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, Lord, your word stands in heaven." Psalm 119:151-152, "You are near, Lord, your commandments are truth. From long ago I have known your testimonies, that you have founded them forever." There are a lot of people who will say that we need to abandon a lot of what the Bible teaches because it goes against today's society. A prominent example of this is the biblical teaching of marriage. Because the Bible teaches that marriage is only between one man and one woman, people say that Christians need to abandon that and accept society's definition of marriage. When we get to the topic of marriage, I'll express this in much further detail. When we reflect on the immutability of God, we can see how amazing and how great the God that we serve is. This should bring us great joy and great encouragement to know that the God that we serve does not change. Unlike us, we change all the time. Our plans change, we don't always keep our promises to one another. But we can safely be assured that when God says, "Whoever comes to me, I will certainly not cast out," then he will indeed not cast us out. Or that when God says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins," that God will indeed forgive us for our sins. When God promises that he will keep us in himself, and that whatever work he has started in us, he will bring it to completion, we can rest assured that God will indeed keep his promises. For those of you who are struggling with their faith, I really hope this has brought you great encouragement and great comfort. If you guys enjoy this episode, please share this with other people who you will think will find this helpful. Please be sure to join us on Facebook at Aspects of Faith to receive updates on upcoming episodes. Now, if any of you could not find the page, there was some technical issues, but now you should be able to find the page without any issue at all. On the next episode, we'll be discussing on what it means for God to be omnipresent. Don't forget to subscribe for more episodes of Aspects of Faith. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and God bless.